All right, man, we got a great show laid on for everybody, and let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys that the opening monologue, the Right Side Way, is brought to you every single day by attorney Stan McDonald. He's a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee up in Huntsville. Stan McDonald, been practicing for 30 years, and yes, indeed, he's our daily sponsor for the Right Side Way monologue. I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. Okay, so I may have told this story before. It's been 4 years of doing this, so it's very likely. If so, please forgive me. But it bears telling nonetheless because it's apropos for what I'm doing now. So at the beginning of the war in Afghanistan, my team and two other teams were sent into the northern parts of Afghanistan. And as such, we fell into what was called JSOTF North, the Joint Special Operations Task Force North. So because we were coming in from the north, we staged out of a small, mostly special operations base in Uzbekistan called Karshikanabad. We just called it K2. I'll never forget one particular day. We're in a big tent with another team being introduced to the communications guys that are going to be going downrange with us. And we're discussing equipment and equipment shortfalls and shortages. And, you know, the war was new. They're getting to us what they get to us. You make do with what you got. At the time, Operation Anaconda was ongoing in the Tora Bora Mountains and the hunt for bin Laden. The siege of Kunduz had just occurred. The Taliban were being mopped up around the country. So we're standing there in this tent, because it's still Tent City at K2, when this young captain, who's on one of the other teams, speaks up. Now, this guy's a stout-looking dude. He was airborne, air assault, ranger qualified. I learned later, though, he was not near as robust as he looked. And he was looking especially tense during this discussion about equipment we didn't have. And suddenly the moment got the best of him. And I'll never forget this. He blurted out in front of all of his men and mine. He said, no lie. He said, they're not giving us what we need. And we're all going to die if they don't get their blank together. Well, I was the ranking man of the tent as a major. And I told him to at ease those comments. And a few minutes later, I walked over and I quietly said, Captain, come outside with me. And we had a discussion. It was a real discussion. It was a little bit one-sided, I'll be honest. But the end result of it was me telling him that his role as an assistant team leader was to ensure that his men had everything they could possibly have for the job, and then to exhort, encourage, enlighten, empower his men to accomplish their mission with what they had. And that blurting out fear and death was absolutely the last thing that any of them needed. Absolutely the last. I also made it clear he would not repeat those words again to my team under any circumstances. Well, he got it, sort of. I'm told that it was not his last moment of fatalism, if you know what I mean. If I'm not mistaken, he was also sent back to the rear soon after they got in country. Look, here's my point. Yeah, fear can be a motivator. It can. There's nothing wrong with a healthy dose of fear, but the key word there is healthy. Healthy fear is things like not wanting to miss a deadline, or being afraid you'll miss your flight so you arrive earlier, or you want to get your bills paid so you work extra shifts. Or maybe getting your date home on time because you don't want her dad mad at you. Those are all healthy fears. Generally speaking, those are so-called healthy fears because they also represent you wanting to do something right, or maybe out of respect or admiration for somebody else to whom you're accountable. At the very least, those kind of healthy fears, they represent sort of a self-discipline. But the other side of that coin is the unhealthy fear that was being vomited upon everyone in that tent by that young captain. You see, that type of fear-mongering is counterproductive. It's stifling. It destroys morale. It defeats purpose. And that type of fear-mongering is what cowards do to attempt to get people to follow them when they have no clue what to do otherwise. That type of fear-mongering is exactly what the left constantly pulls on the American people. We are always in an existential crisis with the left. The polar ice caps are melting. Trump's going to deport American citizens. Transgenders are being discriminated against. Remember when the Biden administration issued a statement telling all the unvaccinated people that they, their families, and their friends were all sure to experience what they called a winter of death? A winter of death? Who even says that kind of thing? And then went on to shame people because their so-called intransigence would just surely overwhelm all the hospitals. It was awful. It was no better than that young captain who didn't know what to do with his own fears, and so he just like spit it all out on everybody else. Well, the Biden administration did the same thing during COVID. They didn't know what to do with their own fears, and they also had no clue how to lead. So they railed, and they blamed, and they accused, and they threatened, and they predicted death, because that's how cowards lead. Now, you may have gained by now that I try to be a student of leadership. One of my favorite authors on the topic is John Maxwell. He's written some amazing books on leadership. In a recent interview that I heard, John Maxwell discussed the fact that in crisis, a leader cannot provide everything, but they can assess the situation and still try to set their folks up for success. Maxwell said this, it's kind of long, but I'm going to read it to you. He said, the thing is, true leaders don't provide all the answers in a time of crisis. They provide awareness and they help prepare, which allows people to do well in the moment. They take it day by day, he said, thinking about what they do now that can bring great value and asking themselves three essential questions. And here they are. The three questions are, what are my responsibilities? What are my priorities? And what are my possibilities? That's good stuff, y'all. What are my responsibilities? That's like, what or who do I have to take care of today? What are my priorities? That's like, what can I do right now to get the highest return? What are my possibilities? Are things like, you know, many of us have something that we needed or wanted to do, but we didn't have the time, but now we have the time. So you lay out your plans and you do it. Look, Maxwell went on to say this. He said that fear can be a powerful motivator, but that people want to get back to feeling balanced. And I agree with that. In my opinion, there's no way for there to be balance in our lives, balance in our society, if fear is the overarching motivator. You see, fear creates imbalance. Fear creates uncertainty. Fear is what generates that deer in the headlights moment in which people freeze and don't know what to do. Well, recently the liberal left has been in high gear on fear-mongering again. They've been freaking out about Trump's efforts to deport illegal alien criminals. No less than five elected members of the House and Senate from the Democrat Party have now made a pilgrimage down to El Salvador to ensure that the world can see how fearfully awful the Trump plan is to deport illegals. They've chosen an MS-13 gangbanger as their poster child. It's really not working for them like they thought it would, but liberals have never been known to read the room very effectively. So they fearmonger, and they heap fear on top of fear. Governor Tim Walz, the absolute worst vice presidential candidate in decades, has been on a tear lately, but his daughter has also decided that she's going to be an internet influencer. In her words, quote, Trump would have deported Jesus and claimed that he was part of MS-13, because that just makes sense, I guess. But I don't know if young Ms. Walz is a true leader, so let me turn to the media. What about MSNBC anchor Simone Sanders? Yeah, I'll play you a clip later in the show, but MSNBC anchor Simone Sanders, never one to shy away from putting her foot squarely in her mouth, she first lauded an editorial that claimed that Trump's deportation of illegal alien criminals was arguably, heralding the downfall of democracy in the United States. Because I guess illegals are voters too? I don't know. But then she went on and she said this and dug her hole even deeper. She said, spewing the most vile and fearful rhetoric one can imagine, she said, if they can do it to them, if they can snatch students off the street without any pushback or recourse, they'll do it to any of us. To be very clear, she said, it's going to be the people of color and the vulnerable communities that are next in line. What is she talking about? She basically just said that if you're a black American citizen, you run the risk of getting deported. That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. That is nothing but fear-mongering. But the real problem was not just that liberal screecher on her liberal screecher show on the Liberal Screecher Network. The real problem was that when she said it, there was a Democrat member of Congress, Representative Glenn Ivey, a Democrat from Maryland, sitting right there on the set with her, and he actually agreed with her. He agreed with Sanders' assessment, saying that was why the black community appeared largely supportive of bringing Abrego Garcia back to the United States from El Salvador. A member of Congress just stated that the Trump administration was destroying democracy and that black Americans were likely to be next in line for being, quote, snatched off the street without any recourse or pushback. Look, it's exactly that kind of rhetoric that Americans are sick of. We are tired of being told to be tired. It is also this kind of sick, reckless fear-mongering that led to two actual attempts on President Trump's life, and to a crazed Democrat shooting up a congressional baseball practice a few years ago when Steve Scalise was nearly killed. Look, leadership, real leadership, the kind that you want to follow just because you want to, because you respect it, real leadership that also indicates that it respects you, that kind of leadership does not promote fear. Real leadership, the kind that we're all looking for and wanting more of, it tells you how we're going to beat this thing, how we're going to overcome, how we will be inspired. Real leadership does inspire. It motivates. It gives hope. It shows the way forward. And we need more of that. which, by the way, in my opinion, is part of why the Trump administration won the election hands down. So hang in there, folks. Bottom line is fear won't be here forever. But hope does last forever. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.